Good morning. How's everyone this fine morning? Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to be able to get a little bit better understanding of some of the areas we're talking about, the rich history of some of these places. Today we're looking at Sidon, Lord. And I know that you were there. You helped a young lady there, and that you had some negative things to say about it, the area. So we're going to try to take a look at those, Lord, and it can help us to understand it better of the history, and then we can use it to get to know you better. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Yes, so today we're going to take a look at Sidon. It's on the sea coast. Up near, I got a map here. He knows we've been talking a lot about Tyre. It's there in red. And Sidon's, I think it's somewhere it said it's like 15 miles from Tyre. I know that Jesus was born down in Nazareth. You see it right there below the word Galilee. And that's about 50 miles away from Sidon. So you get the general idea. This is pretty much where Jesus spent a lot of his time when he was preaching and teaching. So some of the things we're going to see today really reflect why he felt the way he did. I got some old pictures. This is a sarcophagus of Alexander the Great, and it was found in Sidon in the 1880s. And the reliefs on the side are quite detailed. And the roof there, with lots of detail with the little down spots. And this is the other side. And here's a ship that's on one end. Kind of may give you an idea what some of the ships might have looked like in that time frame that we're talking about. Now, this is Alexandria, so it'd be at the 300 BC range. Right now, we're still in the 580s. So there's some ruins offshore of Sidon. That's the modern day Sidon of Lebanon. They spell it slightly different than S-I. In our Bible text, you're going to see it spelled Z-I-D-O-N. It's the same. It doesn't matter which spelling it is. It's the exact same place. Some more ruins of the old Sidon. And this is a plaque. Let me get myself out of the way here. Move myself down. That's found over a shrine to St. Peter and Paul. I guess at some point they must have felt that Peter and Paul actually were in Sidon, and they may have been. I didn't look in Acts to see if I could find it, but there's a good possibility they were there together at some point. I know that Peter and Paul did meet. I don't remember right now if it was in Sidon or not. And that's all I had. We'll leave it on the map. We may come back to that. So let's get into the text. So first, let's do a little history lesson on Sidon. The verses we're looking at today is Ezekiel 28, 20 through 26. So not a ton of verses, so I got a little bit more time to expand. I was thinking about trying to get into chapter 29. That's getting into Egypt. I said, I'll just make this a little bit, maybe this might turn out a little bit shorter than some, but maybe not, you know. Maybe the Holy Spirit will lead us in a direction that we get interested in. We'll spend more time in that area. But it's a city of Phoenician background. This whole area is Phoenician. And Jacob actually gave towards the end of Jacob's life, remember when he actually was speaking to his sons and giving them kind of like their marching orders going forward. That the Lord had laid upon his heart, and that in Genesis 49, 12, and 13, let me read a few verses here first. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Sidon, and prophesy against it. So this is what Ezekiel is being told to do. Uh, And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I, the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. So again, in this time frame, God is going to bring Nebuchadnezzar against him because Tyre and Sidon are so close to each other. They're almost considered to be sister cities. So a lot of what happened to Tyre also happened to Sidon. I think what's kind of interesting about Sidon is that it's actually mentioned in Jesus' time frame also, more so than Tyre. So that's why I wanted to do a little bit of a history here. And now we'll get into the actual history. And back to Jacob, gave Zebulun, his son Zebulun, this area. And over in Genesis 49, 1 and 2, it talks in verse 13. So start off in 1 and 2. Just to show you where we're at. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. So this is Jacob, or better known as, remember, he was named at one point by the Lord to Israel. And this particular chapter is symbolic not only of just of his sons, but of the history going forward of Israel from the standpoint of this time frame. So jump down to verse 13. And Zebulun here shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. So Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun, was in this general area, and that was given to where Zidon is first mentioned. And you can see that it goes way back, all the way to Jacob. Also in Joshua mentions Zidon in verse 13, I mean chapter 13, verse 6. And the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mesopotamia, that big long word, and all the Sidonians, they will I drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide thee it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. And again, this is the same thing that Joshua had commanded, that they drive out these people way back when Joshua came into the land. So it's one of the people groups that should have been driven out, but it didn't, and it wasn't. And we get to Judges 1:31 and 32, and it's a comment about this. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acheo, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, that's the key point here, nor of Ahalab, nor of Akezazib, nor of Helabah, nor of Abithai, nor of Hebrae. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. So, as in Judges, so the Joshua's commandment to that tribe of Zebulun to do that didn't get fulfilled. So now I'm going to jump into where Jesus is also in this area. You know, he was born only 50 miles away, so he's quite familiar with this particular area. And over in Matthew, Jesus talks about this area because he has a curse against it. Then began he to unbridle the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now realize that Jesus did a lot in around this area, and he particularly picks out Sidon. He mentions Sidon in relationship to a couple of other cities, but it also lets us know how he feels about people that knew his ministry and didn't repent. Here in verse 21, woe unto thee, Chezron, woe unto thee, Bethesda. These were two towns on the coast of the Galilean coast. So they were well known of his ministry. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon for the day of judgment than for you. So it was a pretty heavy warning. So we already know that that God was not happy with the Phoenicians of Sidon and Tyre and sent Nebuchadnezzar against them. But they're going to fare better than these cities in around Galilee. So kind of just show a little bit of a history of the area. Also in John 1:44, and because actually Philip, Andrew, and Peter were from this general area. Now Philip was of Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, will you see Jesus?" He's picking out some verses that kind of talks about this area and why Jesus was so upset with them, but that I'm basically kind of building a relationship that Sidon and Tyre. There's one more thing I want to talk about Sidon that I'm getting to. And this is in Mark 7:24 through 30. I'm going to read this. This is a story of when Jesus himself was in Sidon. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek and a Schizophenician, Syrophenician by nation. So she was Phoenician. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meant to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way, thy devil is gone out of thy daughter." Somehow that exchange convinced Jesus that she was faithful and knew about him and knew his ministry and trusted him. So you get the impression in that conversation, it was kind of cryptic that Jesus knew she was for real. And finishing up with verse 30, and when she had come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So that's a little bit of a history lesson of the Sidon area. However, in Jeremiah, talking a little bit more about Sidon, of the time frame we're talking about, of 390 B.C., because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth, for the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the county of Caphtor. Now it's a prophecy of what's going to be coming true. Zechariah 9:2-4 also mentions them. And Hamath also shall border thereby Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build himself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as Myra's streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out and he will smite her power in the sea and she shall be devoured with fire. Another prophecy of what's going to happen to this area in this time frame. Okay, on to Ezekiel 28:23. Well, I will send into her pestilence and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more prickly bear unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that round about them. And they despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Well, of course, I got curious by that term prickly briar. So I had to look it up, and it's mentioned over in Numbers 33:55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, and this is talking about first the fact that these people were not supposed to be here according to what God had told Moses to tell the people, and that Joshua also reminded them of. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. And that seems to be carrying on even to this day. Some of these areas Israel is still having major issues with, and can't help but think about the fact that what's happening even right now with us, some of the things that we're going to be seeing in Ezekiel 38 are really coming to fruition when it comes to this area. Just north of Israel. also in Joshua 23:13, it mentions about what they were supposed to do. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. So you lost your chance. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourge you in the sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And just a little note about the thorns over in Judges 2:3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and the gods shall be a snare unto you. So that's what the prickly bear is commenting about, is that basically you didn't do what you were supposed to do, so they're going to be a thorn in your side forever. And we even see, I had to throw in a comment from Paul when he talks about having a thorn in the flesh. And at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. At least I should be exalted above measure. Here Paul is being told by God, even though he had prayed for something. Okay, let me finish. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, than the power of Christ may rest upon me. So in this case, he did pray to have that thorn removed. And I'm sure that plenty of people in Israel over the last 2,000 years have asked for a reprieve from the Lord when it comes to the things that are happening around them. But it may stretch all the way back to this time frame that, you didn't listen to me, back in 500 BC, to even before. No, I should say, when was Moses, when were they going into the promised land? That was Joshua. And let me get there real quick. I can look at the date. I think it's 14th century. So 1400 BC, that would be the 13 in change. Or they say the 14th century. Let's see. It starts in 1301 to 1399. So ever since then, because of the not following God's orders way back then, they're going to have this thorn in their side until the end of the world. Actually, I got a verse on that somewhere. Maybe right here, Ezekiel 16:57. Before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that round about her, the daughters of Philistines, which despise thee round about. And I was just commenting about this verse here in 24 that mentions about being despised them. Okay, now just two more verses to address, and they have to do with the future of Israel. So now we're getting into the future a little bit. So in verse Ezekiel 28:25, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered. Remember, this is still future, but it's starting to happen now. This particular verse has been happening since 1948. And shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, they shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And some verses to support this over in Isaiah 11:12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judea from the four corners of the earth. I'll read Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you into the land of Israel. As I'm sure most of you are aware, that we have a very large Jewish population in the United States. And almost every country in the world has a Jewish population. And I think what's so amazing about it, it's the only country, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. But it's the only country in the world that basically disappeared 2,000 years ago, but it maintained its language, its traditions, and its beliefs all the way through since this time frame, that it was since 70 AD was the last time it was finally destroyed out of Israel until 1948 when they regained it back, actually early 1900s. But they today speak the actual original tongue of Hebrew that was spoken back then. Also in Ezekiel 20:41, I will accept you with your sweet Savior when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Ezekiel 34:13. Some of these verses we're going to see again. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. This is getting to that area when we get into chapter 33 and 34 range, is when basically the 1948 prophecy started. We'll have some fun when we get there. It's called the Valley of Dry Bones. Also Ezekiel 37:21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. These are all promises we're going to see. Ezekiel 28:26. Last verse we're going to cover today. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments and upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. This is a promise by God, and he keeps his promises. And so just a few verses on this subject. In Jeremiah 31:5, thou shalt ye plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Now that's getting into the future. We'll be talking about that chapter in a few, probably next week. In Amos 9:14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also be made gardens and eat the fruit of them. So these are all the promises by God here in those last two, plus a bunch of other verses. I tell you that all through the book of Ezekiel, he does show them that that these punishments and this wrath is temporary. It's to refine you like gold, is the way God likes to put it. And so that, so just like these people, it's important to remember that sometimes God has to do that with us too. And so that next time you're being refined by God, try to look at it positively. And if it's really a troublesome thing to undergo, just pray that that the lessons be learned and that you won't have to go through them twice. So that is all I got. I'm going to do today, a little bit shorter. And so end with a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this, the promises you made and keep. And it's a comfort to us, Lord, to know that you have kept your promises for the last 5,000 years and that you won't change. And we put so much faith into that promise. And it gives us such pleasure to know that you're a man of your word and that you will always maintain your good name by always keeping your promises. And we praise you and thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.